Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Welcome to Drum and Drummer, a podcast focused on drums, drumming, and drummers. I'm George Pickering, and that's Ben Winty, and we are both professional drummers in this business we call music. So stick around and join us as we pass the time whilst trying to stay in time.
When I was a kid, I just ate so much cake always on the birthday that I puked it out afterwards.
Giorgino. Sergio Giorgino.
Do you know, I was really expecting the German welcome.
Okay, well, willkommen.
Week. There you go.
Guten Morgen, guten Abend, guten Nacht. Alles klar, wie geht's?
What?
Yep.
I don't speak German. You speak it better than me, but not as well as our guest.
Yes.
Yeah.
George,
how are you?
How am I? Yeah.
Are we doing chit chat, or are we going?
We'll do a little bit chit chat. The only reason I do a little bit chit chat is because we are but 4 days away from Christmas.
Are we?
Yes. Remember when this one comes out?
I have no idea when they come out. I just turn up, talk a bit, and then there you go, Ben. You deal with that.
We're just a few days away from Christmas. Are you you're working, aren't you? You're working.
I'm working over Christmas. Yeah.
Are you working on Christmas Day itself?
Yep. Christmas Day, Boxing Day, 27th, 29th, but some of those days double pay, so, you know.
Ka-ching.
Rack them up. Also, you know, Elfie's away. No one's in Brighton because they're all, you know, back.
Flocking back to the motherland.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Well, fair play, mate. People have to work Christmas, you know.
People have to work Christmas.
I've done it before. Not Christmas Day itself, but when I used to be the old... You know, if you ever went to the Wallington and Sainsbury's in Fareham and went down the cereal aisle and thought, bloody hell, these are stacked well, between circa 2006.
Yeah.
You're looking at the man right here. This is me.
Yeah, you're the guy who did that.
So I used to do the night shifts. And I think I got time and a half, maybe.
Yeah, that's all right, isn't it?
Did it. Cheers. Take the money.
What, Christmas Day or
no,
the night
Christmas
before?
Christmas Eve and no, definitely Boxing Day. Definitely
Fair
do
enough.
Boxing Day. Yeah. And New Year's. I'd do New Year's. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I remember just distinctly stacking the shelves. Cereal aisle was my favourite. It's all nice big boxes, you know. And an older guy I was working with, he went, what are you doing? I was like, just doing the cornflakes. He went, slow down. They'll only give you something else to do.
Yeah. Isn't that true?
Fair play.
I'll say quickly, the other day at work, I wrote a form, an instant form. I'd never written one before, and I almost deliberately had never written one because I thought, the moment I write one, I'm going to be the guy that has to do it every time. And sure enough, later in the day, another incident happened, and they went, oh, George, can you write the form? I'm like, oh, you know? So it's like... You got to find your level.
Oh, actually,
you
got to do work for this pay.
Yeah,
right?
This is it. You want to be just good enough that they're like, "Oh, he's all right, actually," but you don't want enough that they're like, you know, "Oh,
he's the guy."
He's the guy. You never want to be the guy at a job that you don't really care about. Today, our guest is Kev. Let's just call him Kev. Kevin Hine. Quick backstory: I met him in October. I've said this on the pod, I've said it before. I sort of latched onto him because he's a drummer, and I went, you're a drummer, let's
help
talk drums.
Me.
You know? Yeah, let's hang out.
Will you and be my friend?
Will you be my? Please be my friend, yeah. Kevin. Please be my friend.
Or please be my friend.
It's good. It's good. Mm. It's whacking out the German, you know. And then I met him again.
Plot twist. Later. I'm German.
Can you imagine?
Yeah.
I wouldn't be that surprised. I don't think.
I think if I was going to be another nationality, it would be either German or Swedish.
If I was to say what nationality you stereotypically look like, mm-hmm. I'd say German. You know, I can imagine if you were wearing, you know, like the sort of the beer fest clothes they wear.
Yeah, on the Lederhosen.
Yeah, you'd suit that so well.
Yeah, with my, you know, my blonde hair and blue eyes. I'll say this, I'd have been one of the favourites.
Yep, you would have.
So, yes.
And you love sausages.
And I love a big sausage in my mouth. Right. So, yeah, you met Kevin doing some gigs.
Yeah. I did, and then I
bullied him to be on your mate.
Yep. Do you know what? Can I just say, I always feel sorry for guests when we start an intro like this and just talk shit about, you know, you literally just said, I love sausages in my mouth or something like that. Yeah. And I love the idea that a guest has, you know, been invited on the pod and then they might tell their mates.
Yeah.
They might
be like, ain't BBC News, you know what I mean? It's not.
No, but they'll be like, have a listen to this. And then. And then they're probably, their mates are texting them going, at what point are you on? Because at the moment, it's just two guys talking about sausages and Lederhosen. But that's probably a good reason to just go into the interview.
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it.
Here's Kevin Hand.
Great. I mean, I'm not sure where to begin with the chat. Because you were very kind in like giving us a list of things to talk about, which no one has done before, you know. So
I feel like depending what situation you're in as a drummer, I think it's always like a bit different topics. For example, if you, I don't know, are in the studio all day recording, it might be more interesting how you write the drums for songs, how you play rudiments and stuff on it. Or in this case, how we met. Well, this is basically my situation here at the moment. I'm living in London and Fulham. This is Southwest London. And I moved here like, I think 4 or 5 years ago, literally after school from Germany because I'm German. It's just, I came from the countryside, super boring. So I was like, well, where'd you go? And then London was literally just the only place. Berlin as well, but I thought, right, go to England, then you learn English at least.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about that. I mean, because we've had someone on before who was from Greece.
And oh, nice.
They were from it sounds like a remote part of Greece. And they had this idea of, let me go to London or England and just, because that's where the music is. Was that your sort of reason to move here?
100%. I think firstly, I wanted to move to the US, to LA. But then I thought about, okay, what happens actually if you stay for longer? If you want to stay for longer, you develop contacts and stuff. It's quite hard to stay in the US, to get like a green card, to actually be able to work. And back when I moved, London was still, or the UK was still part of the European Union. So it was like super easy. You just fly over. And that was pretty much the reason I came to London in the end.
How old were you when you came over?
I think it was 19. Yeah, 19.
Yeah. Did you go to BIM? Am I right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. I started at BIM. It was a really good time. I actually really enjoyed it. The people were really nice as well. Only thing, it was during COVID, so I think I only had pretty much half the uni at.
Oh, really?
The building, actually, and the rest was online.
Wow. Yeah, that's a weird time. I kind of feel sorry for people that went to uni.
Yeah, it's a bit during shit, but
beyond that, you stayed in London and just... I don't know. What have you been up to since?
So yeah, this was the thing. So I was looking basically for like a drum booth or something to play. And I feel like during Southwest London, because during uni, I started teaching drums as well, just to live a little bit from. And so after a while, I actually got quite a lot of students. So I was like, I don't want to move to Hackney or like East London because they've got loads of spaces there.
Yeah.
But then I would need to like start again, getting new students in and everything. So I was like, either I find something here. And then everything I found was around Wimbledon, something around there. And I was also taking the tube again, all of these things. It was like the right thing, really. So what I started doing was thinking about like a compromise, really. So that's when I looked for e-drums. which feel like an acoustic kit, or at least like as good as possible. So you can actually play from home, create content. It's not exactly the same as an acoustic kit, but pretty cool actually. So I bought this Roland VAD 503, 504 or something, one of these acoustic design drum kits. And since then, that's actually a perfect compromise to play at home to prepare for gigs. And when you then switch over to an acoustic drum kit, it actually doesn't feel as weird. It takes about 5-10 minutes, but then you're back into the feel.
Does this one have like shells? Is it one of those?
Yes, exactly. If you want, I can show it to you as well.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Let me...
We'll describe it for the listeners.
Yeah, there we go.
Oh, wow. Oh, cool. Okay.
So that's basically the kit. With the bass drum, I think it's like an 20-inch kick drum, I think is that. Then, yeah, exactly. With two toms, the ride. My crash cymbal actually just broke, so I'm getting a new one from Roland.
Wait, you broke an electric
crash cymbal? Yeah, I'll explain it to you in a second. That was a bit weird. And then the hi-hat. And then I basically just started to develop this a little bit further. I still had two interfaces at home from the time when I recorded actually acoustic drums. So there's like a Focusrite and this Octopre. So you've got 16 channels. And then I started basically rehearsing in here. So from when people come in with their pedal boards, with their camper, they're going straight into the interface, the drums as well. And this is kind of my main station. And from here, I mix everything into the in-ears. So we can actually do full band rehearsals in a room through the in-ears.
Wow.
And that's, I think just like a very clever way of doing it.
But I'm a very good London solution, isn't it?
Yeah, that really is.
I think it's just like a very good solution for being in the flat, uncomplicated. People come to yours, you don't have like, you're not limited to rehearsal time, you don't need to go anywhere really, and it's super uncomplicated. I mean, I had the interfaces anyway, so I was like, just use it for this stuff.
Yeah, so with interfaces and playback and things like that, did a lot of that come about because you live in London and you sort of were forced to learn?
Yeah, I think I learned a lot back in the day, like, because when I was in the countryside in Germany, I just had loads of space, loads of room. So I learned a lot about recording drums, actually acoustic drums. And once I moved here with the electronic ones, I started learning more about the MIDI stuff, everything, the technical part of things, and the routing exactly. And then in terms of the playbacking, I actually came more into it during the show. So we're back in Germany, I played a lot of heavier stuff like metalcore, rock, everything like this. And then I came here and everyone was like, yeah, Kev, can you play pop music?
Yeah.
Pop and indie. Especially for that, like SPD stuff, samples to use, all of these things. And then it kind of became one thing. If you get this, you might just do the playbacking as well. And then what do you use? And then it kind of develops to do it one time, because you just want to invest the time pretty much once to learn it. And then, I started basically building the rig, the playback rig, just to learn with it really much.
Yeah.
To use it and learn with it.
Yeah. Well, that was something I spoke to you about when I first met you, was, running playback, because I've only just started doing it. And we were talking about, there was that guy on YouTube and you were like, check this guy out, the From Studio to Stage guy. And I was
exactly.
He is the one. But it's a whole new thing. And it's what I always say, it's like, it's only going to keep going that way. I mean, I feel like every gig, every band that, like the gigs we've done together, like every band was running playback.
Yeah, 100%.
The whole thing, do you know what I mean? And it's just like, it's the way it's going. But
I just think it's so cool. Like now, I guess you can have that setup now where it's for practicing at home where you have, even now, like with bands I play that I did a show the other day, it was just a function gig, but the stage size was pretty small. And so guitarists were like, oh, I just won't use my amp. I'll just, DI like with amp sims. And, but the fact, obviously with Kempers and things, and you can essentially have a band practice all in ears with no real audible sound. I think like I just that kit you've got, it's all made by Roland, right? It's not an adaptation or is
exactly
it?
This one is all made by Roland. So the drums It's actually quite funny. The bass drum, they're all acoustic drums, but they're actually empty. It's really just for the design, because when I did videos, I kind of, and when I play, I look at it, it's a big thing in the room. It just motivates you more to play than a little kid somewhere in the corner. That was the main reason I got it. And then also for the videos. And it's actually quite funny. The kick drum is actually an acoustic kick drum with a proper drum head, but the trigger is cut out in the middle of that drum head. So it actually feels a lot like an acoustic bass drum, which is nice. And then the rest of them are basically just triggers inside the drums as well. I unscrewed the other day the mesh heads to clean them, and I've seen it's like kind of an electronic trigger inside the shells, but the shells itself is all normal drums.
Wow.
That's pretty cool, yeah. Then the cymbals, this is one thing I actually figured out, is that the cymbals from Roland, one broke. What happened when I hit it? When I hit the cymbal, it just started like a choked sound all the time. Mm. Yeah, that was like, I bought the kit 1 year ago and the cymbal stopped working. And apparently there's like this pixie dust between the gummy things on top. The plastic pad in between is apparently this pixie dust, which makes it start choking the cymbal. And so, yeah, a problem Roland has apparently for a few years already. And I'm going to get a replacement now from them. So
yeah, definitely. No, it's funny you saying it's like with the kick drum feeling like a real kick drum, because I think that is the most important thing. When I used to practice on electric kit, the kick was the bit that just felt like this isn't real. And it's that worry of like, well, if I'm practicing like this, then when I go to an actual gig, I'm going to be off, you know.
100%. And what was quite cool, because when I got this kit, the module, it's a really cool module. I think it's the, how is it called? TD27. It's got loads of options. It's like a huge thing. The thing is, the sound itself are pretty raw, so it actually doesn't sound as good. I had like a TD11 before, and the sounds itself were actually way better than on this one. It just takes loads of time to create good sounds on it. So what I've done was I bought Superior Drummer and bought a preset from Will Putney. He's like a metal producer. And that's like this, drum preset pretty much. Really, really cool, really sound. So I'm actually not even using my module. I'm using Superior Drummer from my MacBook and trigger the sounds from that one. And because I needed to do that, it actually helped me a lot out. For example, when I texted you that on Instagram, when I played a gig a few months ago, crazy, we played like Germany, then the next day Cornwall, and then Germany again. And when we arrived in Germany, we had like 2 hours to go to the show. I thought it was like, I don't know, 200-300 people turning up pretty much. Yeah. But then the whole in-ear system didn't work out. And my drum cymbals did not arrive as well, because they didn't even send them from London to Germany. Jesus. So what I've done was, we arrived at the gig, they literally just, they didn't care, right? And it was a huge stage, and it was like, shit, okay, what are we gonna do? So they set up the drums, the toms. We had like 15 minutes time to set everything up, no in-ears, and no cymbals. So what I've done, luckily I had the SPD-SX, and just 2-3 weeks before, I figured out how to route the drums from Superior Drummer, actually, or a cymbal individual to an SPD-SX. And that was actually really clever. So before the show, I put like a crash cymbal on one pad, the hi-hat on the other pad, and the ride cymbal on another pad, and played the whole show on the,
wow,
the SPD-SX, basically, with the drums.
Yeah.
And it was quite a big one. It was like 1,500 people or something turning up. I've got video footage of it as well. Quite
fun. My God, yeah, please send it over. That sounds...
Yeah, and that was just like one of these moments where you're like really proud. When you sit Saturdays at home, instead of going out, you do like these nerdy things and learn from YouTube and Reddit, or try and find these things, and then you can actually use it in a live setting, and it saves you. That was like a really cool thing to do.
How important do you feel it is to have good social media?
I think it's both. So I think it's both really important to do social media, but also just going out in person. Yeah. Because when I was in Germany, in the countryside, there was literally not any scene. So that was the only thing I could do to do great videos. I think it's super important when you use social media to use it in a fun way. That was the problem I had with TikTok as well, because the videos, I don't know, didn't get views. At some point, I also didn't care, but I kept it going. I still upload stuff on TikTok and Instagram as well. but in a fun way. So I'm not actually looking at how many views does my stuff get or what does my niche to find, because that's like a job for itself, kind of an online influencer, an online drummer, something like this. And yeah, I don't like that too much either. So I'm pretty much using Instagram for challenges. So let's say I know I've got a gig with Telly. So I'm using her songs to practice. And once they're really cool, I figured out drum lines, I actually want to record it. And then I just put the phone there and do a video on the side and try to record it as exact as possible. Because even when you use the MIDI stuff, I do quantize the drums, but I'm always using, giving myself the challenge to, when I quantize it, I need to select all the notes, press quantize, and they need to fall on the grid, on a 16th note grid or something. If that's not the case, I didn't play tight enough, so I need to record it again. So it's kind of little challenges you can do yourself in that way.
Yeah.
Because that's the same when you record with audio, you can quantize it to a certain level, but if it's not tight enough, you just got to record it again. And that's how I use it. And then I literally just take my phone and do videos on this bar. I'm not one of these people who post every day or check, oh, okay, I need to post this story or this and this story. Literally just because I feel like I don't have enough content. And I also didn't want to, oh, I'm not posting my food and stuff like this on my drum Instagram. I used to do stuff like that when I was a bit younger, but now I'm trying to keep it music related in a way, because I think that's just the most interesting thing, really.
You did say, when I was like, what should we talk about? You did mention German sausages. I don't know where that
is. I mean, yeah. Have you tried them?
I think I have, yeah. You know, when you get like a long one in like a German market and it's like, yeah. I mean, why not? Let's talk about food. What have been shocks coming to England food-wise that you're like, that's disgusting? How can they eat that? Or things that you like?
I think the sausages were always like that problem, because I had the conversation with another friend of mine when we've been playing in Germany, France, everywhere, really nice food, and he was coming back to England and just opened a can of beans and was like, oh, finally home. And I was like, couldn't get that. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like what I really love is the Sunday roast dinner, like a proper one. Yeah. Yorkshire puddings, great.
Yeah.
That's really, really good. Exactly, with the sausages, got to talk about that again. But exactly, and the beer, obviously. Beer is great.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, I agree with that. Well, I mean, let's talk about your upbringing, because were you born in Vancouver?
I was born in Vancouver, yeah, exactly. But that's quite funny. I actually haven't been back. I've been one time back this year. I played in Toronto on a festival this summer, but I haven't been back to Vancouver. And my whole family's German. They just got me in Vancouver because my parents were working there. But I was quite lucky because I've got the passport still. I've got the Canadian passport and the German one. But I actually grew up in Germany.
Whereabouts in Germany?
Like near Frankfurt. It's southwest.
So what was the music scene like, if anything?
I feel like Germany definitely got a really good scene in music, and a lot of British artists are touring in Germany as well. I feel like those countries are very much connected, because Germany's kind of the middle place of the European market. You've got Austria as well, Switzerland next to it, and also because I think Germany, like, loads of people live there. It's like 90 million, 80 million population, so it's actually a big music market. I feel like it's got a huge scene for indie, rap, and also rock. Like, there are loads of festivals with people touring, but I think the main places where they happen to be is more like Cologne, that area, and Berlin, where I think all the band scene is more around Cologne. Those areas where all the singer-songwriters, that's like Berlin, where it's happening. And that was, yeah, it was always like 3-4 hours drive. So that was the tricky thing. I wasn't really part of a scene, obviously, in the local one, but not that you say, right, I'm going to go out every 2-3 days.
Is there anything culturally, like drumming wise, that's different in terms of, you said, you know, you grew up in the countryside. Did that make it harder to become a drummer at all?
Or? I do think it makes a difference, just in terms of, that's what I meant with Instagram and going out in the scene, because it's obviously cool to have the Instagram and stuff, but it's so much harder to make actually connections or like interact with people, because I feel like music is like every industry. It's really just who do you like, who you're coming along with and stuff like that. And I feel like those contacts you really just make in person. So you actually have to be in the scene, like in a scene. It doesn't matter where it is, but the better the scene, the better it is and the more you're around. So when I was in Germany, I pretty much only had YouTube. And I got a few cool shows and bands to play around and tour around Germany when I was like 16 during school. That came through YouTube. But I think if you're in a bigger city, like if I was growing up in Berlin, I think it's definitely, I would have definitely played more shows around somewhere just because the scene is different, yeah, and you get to know the people more.
Well, let's talk about London then. You play for a fair few artists now. Is that from just being in London and just going out and meeting people? Or is that...
Yeah, exactly, pretty much. For example, I'm playing with an artist, Casey Lowry, as well.
Yeah.
So him I met as well, literally from the city, from BIM. He went as well to BIM back in the day. So that's where we met. And
he's the TikTok guy, right?
Exactly. He's doing videos on TikTok and stuff. He's got really good music. He's doing like indie music. Exactly. Then who else is it right now?
Tally Spear.
Telly, exactly. Telly was as well through friends. Yeah. Who played before with her, and I've always just been on a house party through my flatmate, and then we met there. And that's, I feel like, kind of how it happens most of the time.
It is.
Exactly. So it's always a fun thing as well when you're around the city, just going out with friends, going on gigs and listen to music, actually.
When you moved over at that age, you know, moving to a different country is a big deal. So how did you feel about that? But then also, what were your hopes and dreams?
I think I definitely thought it was different than it is in the end. So when you come to the city, London, you obviously have expectations and stuff, but it's also a huge scene, right? So everyone is kind of in the same boat, everyone is doing the same thing. And it was actually really, really cool the first 2 years. And I think once I started actually getting internet, realizing a little bit, okay, where are the venues? Where is the scenes? Who's playing in what band, pretty much? I think that was the cool thing. Once I got in there, COVID hit. And it was like, oh, shit. Okay, so everything shut down. And I think it was very important as well that when you study, that you kind of don't stay in that bubble of university on those people, because a lot of them afterwards move away again, because it's hard to make a living from music, isn't it? So a lot of them move back, just take it as an experience. So the more you actually go out of that uni bubble and just enjoy the city, go to gigs, meet people from other universities or bands, I think the easier it is in the end, because this whole thing is just fun when you like do it together with other people, with other drummers, with other friends to go on shows and stuff like this. Exactly. So then COVID hit, and I was actually for 1.5 years back in Germany, because I had my kid there. Back in the time, I didn't have the same setup as I have right now. So I was back in Germany, and then I think pretty much everything just started at the beginning of last year. So that's when I actually really started to enjoy the city and just go for it, because when I teach drums, I'm quite flexible as well to go out, to go on gigs. I think that's pretty much when I started enjoying the city.
Are things going like, is there anything happened or not apart from COVID that your career, do you feel like it's going the way you kind of set out for it to be?
Yeah, I think it's super important to not compare yourself to people, because I think I've done that quite a lot, and I think a lot of us have done that. And if you do that, especially on Instagram and stuff, on social media, it's so hard to compare yourself with other people. And the problem is, if you do that, you can actually just stop playing straight away, because there's always someone who played a bigger tour with, like when he was 16, 17, and you're like 25, and like, shit, okay, why haven't done that? But there are also always going to be people who never done in their 40s the stuff you've done. So you just like think about stuff which is so not important and keeps you actually away from playing. And that was a big part, I think, I learned during the time, mentally, to really just don't care about it and enjoy the ride, enjoy like what you do.
Yeah, it's everyone only posts their best bits, you know? So it's like, I only ever post if I've had a really good gig. And I'm like, right, I'll put that up, and I'll only post the best bit of me playing of a 40-minute set. And it's just like, it's, you know, it's such,
and that's a very small window to find.
It's a very small window. Maybe one good snare hit, you know.
And, did a fill somewhere. Yeah. That was okay. Yeah.
This is shit. This is shit. That's all right.
Phoning up the bass player. Can you remember which one fill I got right? Because
exactly.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
We've living in London. So I lived in London for 8 years for uni and then a job afterwards. So the one thing I was very grateful for when I moved back to Portsmouth was being able to have a car and take my drum kit places. Because I did a lot of pedal, cymbals and snare on the tube.
Yeah.
Go into a venue. Like, is it still the same?
Is it still the same. But the thing is... it depends now as well what show I'm playing. So what I'm doing is, let's say you're playing somewhere, a little pub gig, you really want to do it. And depends always on the budgets. But if it's like the gig actually helps more the artist out rather than yourself, I'm just asking really for the transport. That means like pay me an Uber there and pay me an Uber back. It's like 60 quid. And when an artist plays, they sell merchandise still. They get ticket sales or stuff like this. So they do get money as well. So if you learn the set, if you rehearse, that's just something I'll ask for as well. So well, depends what gig it is in the budget.
I got to talk about Kev's got the coolest backpack that holds his snare and everything I've ever seen. I mean, just describe it to Ben.
The snare foot pedal thing. It's like,
yeah, well, it's like, yeah, he turned up with this like backpack and had his snare and his kick pedal and sticks and all sorts in it.
For a protection racket or something like this. So the craziest what I've done was the playback rig, one hand, what was it, cymbals on the right hand, snare and foot pedal on the back, and then my laptop and just like clothes and sticks and stuff in the front.
Wow.
Yeah, I've done that once. I was like, nope. So to be fair, that's even with the playbacking. Once you realize how it works and how far you can go, made me also realize when it's needed and when not. So for example, if I'm playing somewhere like a small pub show, it's a quick changeover. I'm literally just using my laptop, go in a DI box and click on the left and backing track mono on the right. And then you can still pre-mix it on Ableton and just do this one. And then when the shows get bigger and you get actually, I don't know, like transport-wise, you get an Uber or a band van where you're driving to the gig, then I bring the big one.
Right, okay.
But exactly, and that's the same with backups, because since that happened with the cymbals, I was just thinking, for proper touring artists and bands, like how many times that probably happens that cymbals don't arrive or like parts like this. So it's, no one cares in the end. If you play the show, you got to play the show. It doesn't matter how you do it. So the most important thing is to always have backups. So that starts from adapters when you play in another country, to have always enough adapters with you. Yeah. Then when I'm playing, so let's say your playback rig doesn't arrive, have the backup on your phone, so you still got at least that one if you want to do it. Or in the SPD-SX, you can still send out a stereo backing track, bass and click for output separately. Exactly, and things like that. If the bass drum doesn't arrive, you can put it on an electronic pad. So you always got backups with you, and that's something I learned from it as well.
Yeah,
which is very important.
Have you got the double MacBook thing yet?
I haven't got a second MacBook yet. Yeah. I use sometimes just a second MacBook from someone else.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't actually have two MacBooks myself.
No, nor do I. I've seen people do it. I'm like, that's a baller move. You know?
But yeah, I've done it. I've done it twice to use the redundant.
Yeah, it's a good idea. I heard somewhere, I don't know if this is true, Coldplay have, I think it is true, 36 like Macs for their concert, just in case 35 break, you know.
That is mad. Okay, that's crazy. But I mean, the thing is, it's always a game with CPU, right? So I think Post Malone uses 4. He'll use like redundant MacBook for playback, then 2 MacBooks redundant for autotune, then another MacBook to record the show. And I feel like when you use, from who was that? Shakira's drummer. I've seen like the drum kit tour from 2018, 2019 or something like this. I don't know if you've seen that. It's crazy. It's like a massive kit with loads of triggers on there. And yeah, SPD-SX, stuff like this. And the thing is, what you want to do, you can't change all the presets yourself while you play the show. You really want to concentrate on playing. So he actually triggers everything from his own MacBook. So they've got playback MacBooks, they've got the autotune on there on the side of the stage, but he's also got 2 MacBooks redundant only for the drums. To run the samples, everything from the MacBooks. I think he's using Contact or something to use the SPD samples and everything from there. And if one MacBook breaks again because of CPU something, it switches over to the second one. And if you think now the keyboarder is doing the same thing, or I don't know, exactly the keyboarder, you actually get quickly to quite a lot MacBooks in the end.
Yeah.
Depends how big the production is, obviously, and how much time. But if you play on a, I don't know, like an arena tour,
yeah,
it's probably worth doing it.
Oh my God, definitely.
And you need a lot of chargers.
Yeah. That's true.
More, just a whole flight case coming in. It's just 100 MacBook charge. And then the thing is, I completely get, you know, this shift into playback and Ableton and things like that. I'm maybe a bit old to adapt that sort of stuff into my player now, and I probably don't need to. I've got Pro Tools here. I'm doing all that sort of stuff. Studio, you know, but live, it's not really what I'm doing. But then you think about, the amount of, you know, I think even Ollie with Bastille said there was like, they had 6 MacBooks.
Yeah.
You know, and all this stuff. And you think of the cables, the chargers, everything. And then I get paranoid just with the studio when the OS update, you know, there's a new OS, there's a new, you know, you've got the new M1 to M2, M3 chips with MacBooks. And it's always saying like with studio stuff, you should keep 1 or 2 years behind. You don't want to upgrade. And then you just think about a tour, you know, tours and shows on that scale.
That's the reason I actually did the redundancy in the end, because when I thought, right, okay, I'm doing the playback, you kind of take also on that responsibility that the show is going to work out if you're playing and doing the playback at the same time. So because with the MacBooks, it's always like a bit trickier than using hardware. So I was like, depending on what show you play, on a smaller one, if the mic breaks, but if that happens on a bigger show, like, I don't know, 300, 400, 500 people, that should not happen. And if you play and you always check your MacBook, it's just not fun. for that reason, I got that redundant system. So you definitely know if something happens, it switches over to the second one. You can fully concentrate on the show.
Yeah.
How does that technically work? Is that an Apple-based thing, or is that... So basically, you're saying if one MacBook fails...
Ah, yeah.
It switches over to another one.
There are different systems you can do. I'm using a common setup. Loads of people use at the moment, especially in the UK, which is you've got the playback and you've got an interface which converts the audio from digital to analog. So you basically send all the playback, split it via XLR cable out of the back. And that interface I'm using is... from iConnectivity is like a Play Audio. Seems to be like a standard at the moment. And they integrated a tone. So you've basically put a tone on your door on Ableton, and the interface recognizes that tone. And if the tone drops out because of CPU or something like this for like 2, 3, 4 milliseconds, then it switches over to the second MacBook. So it's going with the tone, basically, which you can't hear. It's sitting on a channel. And it's like boo, and once it drops, like dropping out, it switches over to the second one. Exactly, and there are loads of different ways you can do the playback. There are different ways. For example, you could keep it digital, so you run all the playback via one cable to the front of house without converting it to XLR cables. So loads of different ways of actually doing it.
Do you ever wish it was the 70s and none of this existed?
yeah, to be fair, with the technical part of things, actually not too much. I love that option. Something like this I'm doing here in the room, a full band rehearsal via in-ears.
Yeah,
that's playing great. Guitar amps.
Slash. Yeah,
instead of carrying a massive Marshall amp around.
Yeah,
no, I love that. It's 2023, and we can do that. It gives me the option literally to do this. 30 years ago, that would have never happened.
Yeah.
40 years. In terms of social media, yes.
Even just, I think about it with gigs and just, you know, yeah, if you want to be a pop drummer nowadays, you sort of have to know. I mean, even you've just got to have an SPD as like a bare minimum. And it's like, sometimes I'm like, God, I wish it was just play drums and that was it, you know, but it's, but at the same time, yeah, it's with, you know, with any of this, with learning Ableton, I feel like you go through a thing of, you're like, this is impossible and I hate this and I don't want to do it. And then there's like a eureka moment and you're like, oh, I do.
Oh, you got to turn the laptop on. Right. Okay. Now we're cooking. Yeah.
Exactly. But yeah, no, it's weird. And it's just interesting. It's like, it's, I keep saying it, but it's only going to keep going more that way, you know.
Yeah, 100%.
More hybrid, and
that's why I think it's super important, even though when you use the playback, to keep fully flexibility. Like, so when you say, all right, I'm running through the chorus, let's play another chorus, let's do it again, let's extend that bridge, and that's actually all possible to do today with those with those plugins and stuff like that on Ableton. For that reason, I feel like I'll actually enjoy it to use it and apply it. And then sometimes when I play with any bands, it's just a full band, no backing track. So I'm doing like kind of both at the moment.
I mean, who are your inspirations? Because you seem like a sort of pop punk sort of drummer.
Yeah, I think I am. I love the visual effects as well of playing drums. So I think it's really important how you play and what, like, obviously the drumming part of it. But I love always when you play, depending what genre you play, but let's say you're in a band doing that kind of stuff. I think it's cool as well to do like those stick tricks, stuff like this, just to give that show effect on top of it. And I love that from Rook, MGK's drummer. He did that quite a lot, I think, on live concerts. And then there's another drummer no one knows. He's playing Steve JR, is his name. He is from Sweden, Swedish drummer. He plays in a band called Ghost Kid. And I've just seen his stuff as when he did like hip hop covers from 2012-13. And I think that's those, and Travis as well, definitely. He's really, really cool. Those were my main inspirations. But from then, it kind of went into different ways where I really love all the session stuff, like where it's going really technical and the musical part of things rather than the show. and how the stylistic, or like how the your stick tricks look and stuff like this, or the technical part of things like metalcore, yeah. The stuff as well, where I was like, wow, super cool. So I've got my main, how would you say, influences, I'd say, but I loved bringing more people in and like styles and little chops from different drummers.
Yeah, of course.
Was your kind of goal as a drummer when you were, even when you were younger? Was it session or was it in a band or?
I think it's still today, playing live. I love studio recording as well. It's really cool. But I just love also the journey of things when you, I don't know, just traveling around, being in a different venue. I think that's touring. I think touring is the main one, the live aspect. That's why I've done as well the playbacking and stuff like this. Everything you can really use in a live setting, and that's for me, I think, still the one where I'm like hungry and wanna do playing gigs and playing shows.
It's got buzz in my ear. Fucking hell. I don't, it's this room, man.
I thought you meant like a fly.
No,
a digital buzz.
So let me show you my room, Kev. It's my setup. But for whatever reason, this room, it always goes a bit weird. It's like my interface just can't cope with this room. It's just like buzzing every now and then. Sorry about that. Sorry to go off topic.
Nice set.
Aware of time. Ben, have we got anything else to... Obviously, we edit this. This isn't still part of the podcast chat.
I think we can move on to the last question if you're happy with all that.
Yeah.
And this might tap into your German upbringing, but we like to ask our guests who your favorite delivery company is.
I've seen that.
And I'd like to get a insight into the German
yeah
delivery situation. Who's there that we don't have here? Who's king? Who's the German Every or Hermes, you know?
I mean, I think the one I probably use the most is probably Uber Eats.
Okay, yeah.
No, I'm a proper Tollmann guy. Tollmann, do you know Tollmann?
Yeah.
No.
I've been to their shop, actually. There are a few music shops in Germany, which are really cool. Music store in Cologne is great. I think they're working together with DVD 24/7, something like that. Is that a British one?
Yeah.
I think they're working together. That's a huge shop. Then Tollmann is actually that proper one. And it's quite funny. I've been to their shop. So it's a very small town in Germany. It's like 300 people. It's like a village, actually. But then the production halls and those, the Tollmann company is massive. It's like 4 or 5 different halls around that little village. Wow. Because Tollmann does just like, they're sending loads of stuff out in the world.
I've got so much stuff from there.
Yeah, great.
I think when fucking UK left the EU, then there was issues with, because so many people in the UK were using Tollmann.
Yeah.
And then there was problems. But I think Tollmann does so much commerce with the EU, with the UK, that they've now sorted out some sort of deal where now you don't have to pay the extra charges if you
exactly or they do it, or Tollmann pays it or something like this.
Yeah, something, they've got something sorted and they've got it back to what it was. But yeah, specific delivery companies, you know, Uber Eats, you said?
I love Uber Eats, yeah.
Uber Eats. Okay. What's your go-to? What are you going for? What's your...
I think I'm going for sushi.
Ooh, okay.
I love sushi. Yeah, like a nice salmon box. Always good. And then otherwise, I think it's KFC.
Okay. What are you getting from KFC?
Oh, do you know that menu box with chicken wings? Obviously chicken wings. But I love the chicken burger. I just love the chicken burger.
Yeah.
Chicken burger with fries and then a few chicken wings. Mm. And then the corn.
Gravy?
Yeah. Nice as well.
Do you have a sweet tooth?
What? A sweet tooth?
Yeah. Are you into chocolates and sweets?
God, to be fair, I'm more a crisps person.
Crisps. Okay, let's talk crisps.
Doritos. Only one, Doritos.
Doritos.
I love Which Doritos. Flavor? The classic one, I think, it's the Heat Wave.
Oh,
heat
okay. Wave.
Yeah. Strong choice.
It's a good one. Yeah. Heat Wave Doritos, amazing. With a bit dip to it.
Yeah.
A bit of sour cream. And
What's your favorite food?
It's a good question. I think pizza. If you could have one meal forever, I think pizza every time. Pizza. I've never not wanted pizza. You know what I mean? Sometimes it's like, oh, I'm not in the mood for sausages, but pizza.
You know what? What you need to try is putting like a tortilla wrap. Take your tortilla wrap.
Yeah.
Like a bit of tomato sauce on it, or like ketchup, and then make it like a pizza. Put it in the oven. So yeah. Nice.
Is it that? See, my problem with that is getting the right tomato sauce, because you know.
Try ketchup. It's actually quite nice with ketchup.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, fair. Why not? Let's do it. I mean, you know, gigs are drying up from January, so let's see.
The drummer's pizza. So tortilla and ketchup, sort of.
Yeah.
I'm a big Italian food, big spaghetti bolognese.
But I feel like spaghetti bolognese is now like an English dish. Do you know what I mean? I feel like English people have sort of taken over.
That's
it.
My dish.
Yeah.
I eat that every day as well. I love that.
Yeah. It's so good. Chinese.
Like that's Chinese. Another one that's sort of English now. Yeah.
The reason I asked about the sweet tooth was a gig the other day. The bassist was eating a Kit Kat, a regular two-finger Kit Kat. I lamented on the fact that he wasn't eating a Kit Kat Chunky, which I think is the superior of the Kit Kats. And I posed the question to the band, how many Kit Kat Chunkies could you eat before you questioned your own existence? And I feel fairly confident I could buy three multi-packs of four, and somewhere in the third pack, I'd start to feel...
Well, so you could eat upwards of nine.
Yeah, I firmly believe that. And I'm willing to go on camera at some point. I'll do it. I'll do it for this podcast.
Yeah, we have been saying we need to do a Christmas special again. So maybe the Christmas special.
Sounds like a challenge.
I just wondered if you, you know, if that was something, if you had any ideas how many Kit Kat Chunkies you think you could eat.
I think for me is, to be fair, like maybe one pack, that's it. When I was a kid, I just ate so much cake always on the birthday that I puked it out afterwards. And since then, I developed this kind of, I don't know, feeling that I don't like sweet things too much. It's actually quite helpful now, but I don't eat that many sweet things, to be fair.
No, that's fair. That's probably quite a good way to do it. I mean, quite a disgusting way, but just eat so much cake as a kid. You're like, I'm all right.
It's like always those creamy ones with like loads of cream. Oh.
Is German cake good?
Schwarzwälder Kirschtorte. Is that the...
Schwarzwälder Kirschtorte.
Jesus.
Yeah, boy.
Where did that come from?
That's the one. You got it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that one. Great one.
We should have just discussed food for the hour.
I think my favorite one is, to be fast. I can't decide between pizza, Mexican food. I love Mexican food. And sushi. Those three.
Mm.
Tricky one.
What kind of Mexican food are we talking?
Tortillas, yeah.
Yeah.
Like those big wraps. I love the big wraps. Not tacos, actually, too much. Not the small ones. I love the big ones.
I know what you mean. Yeah. What? The place tortilla? Like
the wraps.
Yeah.
The wraps.
I like the beef that you can get in it. It's like 70p more. But
like shredded beef, the sort of shredded beef burritos. Or
Nice one.
You always want the right person to be serving you, though. You always want someone that sort of adds a bit more in, you know, because you never quite know what you're gonna. You might get like a small wrap.
Doner kebab as well. Doner kebab.
Yeah.
Doner kebab. Yeah.
Really good one.
Garlic sauce. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a night out thing, you know.
Always. I haven't had one for so long.
Kebab.
I just don't go out.
No, you need to really go out. You can't just have one. I don't think you can have one just for dinner.
Yeah.
It has to be like 2 a.m.
Oh, I could always do it.
Should we wrap it up?
Like a burrito, let's wrap it up. There you go.
Ah, it's good.
Perfect. Thank you so much for the invite, right?
Thanks for having me.
No, yeah, thanks, man.
What
are your plans for Christmas? Have you got? Are you staying in England? Are you going somewhere?
Well, Ben's...
I'm off to Christmas. New York City.
Yeah.
Oh, nice one.
Yeah.
What are you doing there?
Just 5 days away. So we fly out of Christmas Eve. We're there going to Broadway, going to see basketball.
Nice one. Really
cool.
Have
a little holiday, yeah. So that'll be good.
Great.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm working. So, you know, it is what it is.
But, your work.
Yeah, I got a part-time job. We've all got a part-time thing. And it's double pay. So I was like, I'll do Christmas. And Boxing Day.
Great. Cool.
What about you? Are you back in Germany or?
No, I'm going to Tenerife for a week, and then I'm going to Sweden for another week.
Nice.
Yeah. To Stockholm.
Oh, nice. Just
enjoy, yeah.
It's on my list, Stockholm. I've never been, but I'd quite like to go.
I was yesterday about to buy a winter jacket because apparently it's really cold there. Mm. But in the end, I decided to not buy one because I wear leather jackets anyway all the time. I don't know if that was a good decision or a bad decision.
I think it's a decision that will make you look cool. So
that's super, very cool.
Most important thing.
Cool in either sense of the word.
Yeah, exactly.
I thought you were going to say I was going to buy a winter coat, but then I bought a new snare drum instead.
Yeah, all that.
Yeah.
Cool. Nice. Have a lovely time in Tenerife and Sweden.
Thank you so much. Then I wish you a really nice week.
Thank you.
Have a we'll great day
when this is out and everything.
That's cool.
Yeah. Cheers, Kevin. Time. Thanks so much.
All right. See you. Bye bye.
See you later. Bye.
Bye bye.
There we go.
Go. Do you really think, I don't know if you left this in or not, I hope you did, that you could eat 9 Kit Kat Chunkies?
Yeah, I really do. And I don't think, you know, we've talked about imposter syndrome and things about, you know, when you sometimes lack confidence in your playing or you have a gig, yeah, you're a bit anxious about this. Nah, I don't think I've ever felt more confident.
In one go.
I really think I could. I just really do.
Yeah.
And I think if I can't, I'll be devastated. You know?
Because I used to work at your studio and there's chocolate bars there. And my God, when you sat in that room for 6 hours, you're like, well, I have one. And you're like, well, if I have one, I may as well have two. And I think I used to stop at two because I thought, well,
he's got to make some money.
But I would pay, which it was even more depressing, like tapping my card for chocolate. But I was like, I think I stopped at two because of the guilt and the shame, like, fucking hell, I can't have 3 chocolate bars. But when it comes down to an actual physical element of like, how many can you eat before you actually...
Yeah, and this is the thing, it's not vomit. A moral question or not a, you know, it is purely just how many can you eat?
Yeah.
You know, and this isn't to be done in a normal environment, you know, like a day-to-day thing or how many can you eat with your lunch? No, this is sit down, but you know, not there's no time element, there's no time challenge.
No.
There's no the only pressure is the pressure you put on yourself.
Yeah. I think I'd have to have a cup of tea or something maybe. Well,
this came up at the gig actually because we then deviated into yeah, lovely chat with Kev. Cool. We then sort of divulged into, well, what main meal could you just continually eat, you know, that you just keep eating and eating and eating? Sweet and then savoury. You know, James was very much, oh, sushi, I could eat that forever. Yeah. Or sausage rolls, you know.
Yeah.
And then what came up either way... whether it was your Kit Kat Chunkies, your spaghetti bolognese, your sushi, your sausage rolls, was a key element, I think is very important, is lubrication.
Yes.
Is the lubrication. And whilst I'm a huge fan of chocolate milk or chocoladen milk,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, good.
Again, probably too thick and sickly if I'm trying to eat as many Kit Kat Chunkies as I can.
No, you couldn't have a chocolate drink with Kit Kats.
But I think I would need regular milk.
I think even milk is still quite... I mean, I know you don't like tea or coffee, but I feel like you'd have to have something that's a bit more... I don't know, milk feels like... Well, maybe milk. I don't know.
But you don't have to have a whole pint of it. Just something to just wash away the wafers.
Yeah.
You know? Obviously, you know, if you're trying to see how much... you know, spaghetti bolognese you can eat or something, you don't have a fizzy pop.
No.
You know, you're going to want a light fruit squash. Or...
My favourite YouTuber, Beard Meets Food, he has Diet Coke to help food go down and food challenges for whatever reason. So I don't know what that is. I don't know what the science is there. Anyway, that was a good chat with Kev, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, really? First person I know or have met who has one of those big old acoustic, you know, the Roland kits that are essentially a full acoustic shape and size.
Yeah. So no, it was very cool to see that.
Yeah.
And you know, the line between what is acoustic and what is electric is getting more blurry.
It's blurring, baby. It is blurring.
Blur it. Because, you know, he said he's used it for gigs and stuff, and it's like, yeah, you know, there'll be people looking at that going, oh, look at that drum kit, you know, who don't know. They won't
what's
know,
coming out them speakers.
Yeah.
Superior drummer, baby. Superior drummer, baby. It's not what it's called. It's called Superior drummer. But
it is how it should be pronounced.
Yeah. Right. So other than working, George, you got any other Christmas plans?
Well, I'm back in the Portsmouth area from the 21st to the 24th. That's when I'll be back. I'm going to cram in seeing all my friends. There aren't many, but in one day, you know, because I've actually got a gig on the 22nd as well. So,
okay. Function.
And and it's Electric Kit. Oh. So, I know.
Yeah.
And the fee's not great. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Beyond that, no, not really. I this year I'm very much like, fuck it, just work, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
just
get that money, and then go back
spend
to my
it
bullshit
on something you do want
to
do.
This is it, exactly. Yeah. We forgot to ask him, where can we find him?
We did, yes.
Yeah. Go to his Instagram, which is Kevin Hine Drums. I could have
Kevin
guessed
Hine
that.
Drums. Yeah. I think his website, I'm going to take a punt, it's kevinhinedrums.com.
Yeah, it is, yeah. God, but that's nice, isn't it? It's just the same across the board.
Yeah. Something we were unable to do.
Yeah, it's quite annoying,
with this
isn't
podcast.
It?
But yeah. Ho-hum.
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 Right.
Well, if you're asking me what I'm up to for
Christmas.
Well,
I know what you're up to. You tell me every week.
Yes, I know, but, you know. My little plan, tomorrow, will be go up and see the brother and his family. Gig on the 23rd, fly to New York on the 24th.
Mm.
Thank you very much.
Nice. What time's the flight?
12:30 p.m.
Oh, that's lovely.
Yeah, it's nice.
My God.
Not a horrendous early start, but, you know.
How long is the flight and what time will you get there, New York town?
The flight's like 7 hours maybe, 7 or 8 hours, and then you skip back through 4 or 5 hours, so...
So
leave at lunchtime, land just after lunchtime. Yeah, sort of like
weird,
mid-afternoon.
Yeah.
So you sort of get to have two dinners that day.
Yeah.
So that's the thing I'm looking forward to the most.
Yeah.
A four-meal day.
Yeah, perfect.
Isn't it weird, though? Because, your day, you're going to have a 29-hour day.
Yeah.
You lose it when you come home. So the trick is to go and never come back. And then you've, won time. You've beaten time. You've got an extra meal out of time.
Yeah.
So that's going to be very nice. Very much looking forward to it. Be nice to get away after the end of this year.
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah, so
definitely.
That'll be good. Yeah.
Well, enjoy.
Well, everyone at home listening or on your commutes, if you're listening through speakers, headphones, directly through your phone, maybe a car Bluetooth system.
Oh, he's doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Everyone listen, thank you very much for listening. And hope you all have a very good Christmas.
Yes. Glad tidings to you and your king. So
your then was like, no, I don't want him to. Hope you all have a good Christmas. Yeah.
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 Smo-so.
Did you just say smo-so?
Spose-so. The shortening of suppose. Spose. Yeah.
Yeah, good.
Good tidings to all. See you after Christmas.
Yeah. Bye.
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 Thank you for listening to Drum and Drummer. You can find us on Instagram at Drum and Drummer Podcast. And you can send us an email to drumanddrummerpod@gmail.com. Remember, just pick up the sticks and twat it.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.